Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. It's good to see you all today. He is alive, is he not? The Lord is alive. Today we're going to be talking about the effects of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And the great truth is that the same power that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead is the same power that gives you and I life. It's the same power that literally changes us from the inside out. Changes us, transforms us. So much so that I can stand before you today and wear a suit for the first time ever. God is always changing us, amen? And for the good, for the good. So if you have not already opened back up to the book of Romans, I want to encourage you to do that. At the Way Fellowship, we teach through the Bible and we go verse by verse. So if you have not turned back there, if you would do that now, reach forward in your seat and grab a Bible if you don't have one. But we're in the book of Romans chapter 8, looking at three verses this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 through 11. Our central truth today is that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells within and makes alive all who put their faith in Jesus' substitutionary death and victory over the grave. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells within and makes alive all who put their faith in the substitutionary work and resurrection power of Jesus. Paul tells us in verse 9, if you follow with me, you, all of y'all, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. What does he mean by this? First sub-truth today is that you and I are no longer in the flesh. We are not in the flesh. What the heck is the flesh, though? That's a churchy word, a Bible term. What does he mean when he tells us that we are no longer in the flesh? Well, if you move your eyes upward just a little bit to verses 6 through 8, Paul had told us earlier what the flesh was. He says in verse 6, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul says, you are no longer in this thing called the flesh. And what is the flesh? Just looking at these three verses, verses 6 through 8, we have five things to describe what this fleshly nature is. First, the mind that is set on the flesh is death. It's just death. What is the flesh? What does living in the flesh mean? It means that we are consumed with actual spiritual death. Not life, but its antithesis, death. Secondly, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. You are no longer hostile to God. You are no longer setting your mind on the things of death. Third, he tells us it does not submit to God's law. The mind that is set on the flesh, our old self, used to be unable to submit to God's law. We never did it because, number four, it cannot submit itself to God's law. It's just impossible. And because of that, number five, the mind that is set on the flesh cannot please God. Apart from the substitutionary death of Christ and his victorious resurrection over the grave, the Bible teaches that you and I cannot please God. We lack the ability to do that. But because of Jesus, here's the good news for us this morning. But because of Jesus, all of this has changed. All of these five subpoints about the flesh, it's all changed. Because of Jesus, you and I are no longer in the flesh. And subpoint number two today, instead, we are in the Spirit. You, however, are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Paul says that we are now in the Spirit. We used to be in the flesh, but now we are in the Spirit. And he gives us two explanations. He unpacks this through two different ways. We are in the Spirit, and the Spirit first then now dwells within us. So what does it mean when Paul says you are no longer in the flesh, you are now in the Spirit? He means two things. First, the Spirit of God himself now dwells within us through our faith in Jesus Christ. Everything has changed. No longer walking in the flesh, now living in the Spirit, literally because the Spirit of God himself dwells within us. Look at the second part of verse 9. It says, If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Because of Jesus, we are now in the Spirit, which means God dwells within us. One of the glorious truths of our faith, church, is that God has made his dwelling place within us. It's not that just we have communication now with God the Father. It's that he literally resides within us. 1 John 4:13 says, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit." How do you and I know that we belong to God? The evidence is in the question of whether or not you and I have the Spirit of God. So Paul gives words of caution to us in this verse. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Friends, church, does the Spirit of God dwell within you? There's two types of people. One over here who walks in the flesh and is hostile to God, and the other over here who is not hostile to God anymore because, in fact, God has made his dwelling place within him. Does the Spirit of God dwell within you? Can you say that? Monday through Saturday, is there evidence? Have you experienced the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit? Because anyone, verse 9, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And that word him is referring to God. The Bible is teaching here, right here, that no one has access to God apart from the Spirit of Christ, apart from Christ himself, Jesus, the Lord and Savior. So, does the Spirit of God dwell within you? And the second question is, then how does one receive the Spirit of God? If you're sitting here today not knowing, if you're sitting here today unsure, if you're sitting here today doubtful, then the next logical question is, how does one receive the Spirit of God? And the answer is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that Jesus took upon himself on the cross, our sin, our shame, and our guilt. That all that shame and guilt and that sin that you and I have been carrying around for years is no longer ours to bear. That the great glorious truth of the gospel is that all that sin, shame, and guilt was poured down upon him instead. It was taken off of your shoulders and it was put on his. How do we receive the Spirit? Through our faith in Jesus' work on the cross and his work in rising from the dead. faith that he not only took upon himself our sin, but that he rose as proof that he alone is powerful enough to conquer sin and death. That he alone is powerful enough to carry our guilt and our shame, and we don't need to anymore, church. Jesus himself taught this. Read with me John 14:16-17. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Before his crucifixion, on the night that he was betrayed, he tells his disciples this. He tells you and I this. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Did you see these words in there? He says, I will ask the Father. Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper. The Spirit is given from the Father to those who put their faith in Jesus. How are you and I to have this Spirit of God, to have God himself make his home within us? It is through our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. John 14:23 also says, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me..." Who is this guy, Jesus? He's the guy who says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." God himself now dwells within each of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Robert Mounts said it this way, "The Spirit of God is not an occasional visitor. He takes up residence in God's people." Church, through Jesus, God establishes permanent residency in our hearts. And his presence is the proof of our belonging to him. You, however, are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the Spirit now dwells within us. And number two, the Spirit now gives us life through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just that he dwells within us. It's not this great glorious truth that he now dwells within us. It's that in dwelling with us now, he empowers us. He changes us. He makes us all brand new. Verses 10 through 11, read them with me. But if Christ is in you, if he is indeed within you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Listen. But if Christ is in you, everything changes. Amen? Church, if Christ is in you, everything changes. I look around this room and I have known a lot of you for a long time, and everything has changed in your lives. Amen, Zach? Amen, Mike? Amen, Jim? Everything has changed. When a man or a woman places his or her faith in Christ Jesus, God makes his dwelling place within that man and that woman, and he changes him and her instantly. Everything's different. Jesus referred to this as being born again. You've heard it. John 3:3, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You cannot see God's kingdom. You cannot see the things of God. You're blind to it. You're ignorant of it. From the inside out, though, everything changes. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and he changes everything. He changes the entire way that you look at things. What you used to think were satisfying is suddenly not so satisfying. No longer is everything filtered through the kingdom of self. Instead, you're finding out that everything is beginning to be filtered through the kingdom of God. It's not about you. It's not about you. Over the last month, I have been just overly encouraged by the life change that I have witnessed with my eyes of the Holy Spirit's transforming work within two new brothers in Christ that I have next to me, that I am walking alongside now. Just two individuals who their lives have been changed radically from the inside out because God has made His dwelling place within them. And I think I said it last week, but I feel like I'm a pinball machine. I'm just ricocheting off wall to wall, hearing the story of God's work in this man. And then the next day I hear the story of God's work in this man, and I'm caught up in it because the transformation is so great. When God makes His dwelling place within us, He doesn't just set up permanent residency, which is a great thing, but He changes us. Everything is changed. There is life. There is newness. There is God. How does this happen? What's going on? Look with me again at verse 10, and let me just spend some extra time unpacking this. Paul juxtaposes two ideas. He takes two contrasting ideas and he sticks them right next to each other in stark contrast to one another. He says, our dead bodies and then our life of the Spirit of Christ. We have dead bodies ourselves, and then right next to it, in contrast, we have the life of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. He says, although the body is dead because of sin, verse 10, although the body is dead because of sin. What does this mean? This means that you and I are all dying things. You and I are dying right now. I'm going to hit 40 next year. I'm getting closer to death than the birth. We're all dying. Listen, each of us has a shelf life. You know? And the Bible teaches that the inevitability of death is in front of us. And it's all because of sin. Why do you and I die? Why is there this passage, this thing that we all must enter into, death? Why? Because of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we get to earn. That's what we earn. That's what we get to keep for our hard work that gets us nowhere. Sin is just our hard work that's trying to get us somewhere, but in the end it leads to nowhere. The wages of sin is death. This is the consequence of our sin. Death is the consequence of our sin. And listen carefully. There are two types of death that the Bible is talking about here. One is spiritual death, meaning sin destroys relationships, and ultimately sin destroys our relationship with God. Our sin has destroyed our relationship with God. There's a gulf that exists between the man of flesh and the holy God of righteousness. And then there's also the physical death, because sin ultimately destroys our bodies as well. It's the cause. But here's the great truth. But in Christ, there is eternal life. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The effect of sin, it's going to happen. But, praise God, there is life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just as there is spiritual death because of sin, there is now spiritual life because of the righteous Spirit. Just as there is physical death because of sin, there is now spiritual life because of the righteous Spirit. There is life for all who put their faith in Jesus Christ, people. Friends, let me say it again. There is life for all who put their faith in Jesus. Because the sad truth is, what you've been doing over here isn't really life. It's just running in circles. It's running in the dark, stubbing your toe over and over again. It's stepping on that kid's Lego in the dark over and over again. It's not getting you anywhere. But in Christ, there is life. Because those who put their faith in Jesus receive the life-changing Spirit of God. And this is the same Spirit. Let me read this. The same Spirit who is life is the same Spirit who gives life. Can I say it again? The same Spirit who is life is the same Spirit who gives life. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, then He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. R.C. Sproul said it this way, the same power that God used to raise the corpse of Jesus from the dead is living inside believers right now. The same power that raised Jesus' dead corpse is the same Spirit that empowers you and I to live in newness of life. How is such transformation possible? Again, because the same power that raised Jesus now raises us. The same power that brought Jesus back to life brings you and I back to life. Let me read several scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 4:13, 14. This is our hope, people. This is what Easter is all about. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. This is our hope. This is the truth of the empty tomb, that because He rose, you and I now have the opportunity to rise also. Yesterday, the doorbell rang, and I yelled at Jeffrey to go get it because I was busy playing a video game on my phone. But there was, you know, some conversation happening, and I could sense that it wasn't one of our neighbors, it wasn't one of their friends, and I immediately knew who it was. And it was a particular religious group of people who knock on doors and try to give you literature. And I met him at the door, and I didn't invite him in. And he tried to talk about Jesus a little bit, and then I said, listen, here's the truth. You and I don't believe in the same Jesus. Well, what Jesus do you believe? I believe in the Jesus of the Bible. No, you don't. You believe that your Jesus was just an angel who came down to heaven or came down to earth, and He did not rise in physical body form. You don't believe that my Jesus is God Himself. Well, yes, we do. We believe He was the Son of God. But you don't believe He was God. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what, church? I quoted the scripture to them. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And what does Lord mean? Lord means Kyrios in the Greek. It means Yahweh in the Hebrew. It means Jehovah for them. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Jehovah, and you believe in your heart that what? God raised Him from the dead. In bodily form. Not in some spiritual substance, but that God literally raised Jesus Christ alive. Then what? You will be saved. It makes all the difference. If Jesus never rose, you and I are still lost. We are still trapped. But He rose. I have news for you. We are all going to die. The consequence of sin is death. The physical death, the consequence is still out there. It's still going to happen. But the good news is the spiritual consequence has been covered over. Christ rose victorious over not just the grave, but over sin. And in so doing, He gave you and I life. Friends, the tomb is empty. And Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, you and I have been made alive. This is our hope. This is our glory. This is our joy. You are no longer in the flesh. However, you are in the Spirit. Because He's alive, we have this hope that our mortal, dead, dying bodies will rise. Our central truth this morning, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells within and makes alive all of you today who put their faith in His substitutionary death on the cross and His victorious resurrection from the grave. I'll close with one last verse, John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the way. He not only provided the way, but Jesus is the way. This morning, maybe for the first time ever, will you put your trust, put your faith in Him? Will you acknowledge in this moment that you and all your work and all the things you have been doing have not worked? Where have those things in the flesh that you've been chasing after left you? You know, look at the balance in the scales. Has your living in the flesh added to your life? Or are you feeling pretty empty right now? I want to encourage you that there is a Savior who deeply loves you, who loves you so much that He gave His life for you, that you would experience life. Let's pray. Father, we praise You, and we come before You this morning thanking You for Your infinite, merciful love to buy us out of death through the substitutionary death of Your Son and to give us life through the powerful victory that He won over sin and death. This morning, I ask that You would move within our hearts, Holy Spirit, that You would come upon each of us, that You would make Your presence known. And Lord, that You would change us in an instant. And that You would be glorified. Lord Jesus, we praise You this morning. We give You all the glory. We honor You. And we lift up Your name because You are worthy. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.